fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. Big debate tonight. This is part two of the night one of part two of the big debate.
It's now, we've now named the debates like they're Harry Potter movies. Like it's now part 7A.
It's going to have to be like that because there's 317 candidates. We'll get into that coming up in just 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Health concerns are a sad part of life. I mean, it seems like there's always something that either hurts or bothers us health-wise, right? Well, if that's you, you really need to see what CBD products can do for your health. CBD may offer many of the health benefits of marijuana, but without the high. So it's 100% legal and requires no prescription from CBDistillery.com. The health testimonials are impressive, like this customer who wrote, "I highly recommend CBD to everyone. It's done a complete turnaround for me." Another customer wrote, "CBD made a big difference in my health." Look, if you haven't tried CBD for that health concern, you should. But where you get CBD products is crucial. With independent lab tests and nearly a 250,000 customers, you can trust CBDistillery.com. See what CBD can do for your health. Go to CBDistillery.com and enter RELIEF for 20% off. Again, enter RELIEF for 20% off at CBDistillery.com. CBDistillery.com.
Pat and Stu again for Glenn, the Glenn Beck Program. Tonight is another big debate night, which sadly means we have to watch it.
Woo!
So you don't have to.
I will be live tweeting it at World of Stu.
Wonderful.
I know you will be live tweeting it as well at Pat Unleashed.
All over it at Pat Unleashed.
And when I say live tweeting it, your Twitter account will be live for people
yes.
to follow.
Yes.
Mine will. I will be filling your feed with nonsensical observations about the debate because it's the only way I can get through it. And it does help me for the next day to remember what the hell happened.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly I'll be making fun of the candidates. That's tends to be the way this goes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is, of course, they're all terrible.
That's a true statement. They really are. So you have from the outside going in. Marianne Williamson, because she's got, 0%?
She's at 0 or 1. She hits 1 sometimes.
Okay.
Williamson is interesting in that she's kind of the crazy one. Yeah, she's the one that said she was going to politicize love and take on Donald Trump based on love.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that means she's hitting on him. I don't know what that means exactly. But
she doesn't seem to be saying loving things about him.
No.
I mean, not even close.
No. But she's like the Pat Benatar candidate. She's the love is a battlefield candidate.
Right. Okay.
You know? And she comes out and she's going to say, she's going to take it to the political battlefield with love. And the thing that you like about Marianne Williamson, and the reason why there's even Republicans.
Is there something I like about her?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Oh, okay.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the debates, you do. Because she's nuts. So it's fun
to watch her.
If she's like the entertainment of these things. There's a reason why some Republicans are even donating to her, because they want to get her in future debates. Like, there's actual movement of people donating $1 to her.
That's funny.
Which sounds like a good idea, and it's funny, until you get signed up to every Democratic donor list.
Yeah, then no.
And then you're not going to like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I will tell you, it's not going to help, because she's going to be able to get plenty of donors. Her issue is going to be whether she can get the polling to come through.
Which she's not going to be able
2% to. 2% is going to be... It's a tough road.
She's going to have to be on Oprah every single day.
Yes.
In order to get 2%. Then you got Tim Ryan. Nobody knows who he is or where he comes from.
Ohio,
nobody cares.
Yeah, Ohio congressman had a really bad first debate. So he is, I would say he's, if he makes it to the next one, I'll be surprised.
Me too. Amy Klobuchar, might be time for her to leave too, because she's getting no traction.
She really isn't. I mean, she should qualify for the next round of debates. She can hit 2% here and there, but really not catching fire. She's in one of those moments, Pat, where you're like, she's enough of a candidate that has a chance, I think, to make noise that there's a temptation to get desperate. Right, there's a temptation to throw out a crazy policy, a newsmaker, to go on the attack against someone to try to get a viral video. But she's probably better served doing what she's doing, honestly, and hoping for the Biden VP slot, which is legitimately realistic with her. So stay back. You know, she's Midwest. That's where they need to win.
I would think Kamala Harris has a better shot at that than she does.
She may have a better shot, but Kamala Harris also might win the nomination.
Yeah, maybe.
And I can't imagine. I mean, look, we've seen this with George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan, where sometimes they do pick the big rival.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Is Joe Biden, after getting, you know, beat up by Kamala Harris in that first debate, can they patch it back up together for a VP slot situation? Possibly, but I don't know. I don't know that that's she's the lead candidate at this point. Klobuchar is like, you know, she's from the Midwest, female candidate, obviously. She has an excellent history when it comes to, you know, elections. I mean, her record as far as winning is very strong. She's done very well in Minnesota. And this is, of course, the area where, you know, the Hillary thing kind of, you know, I mean, Minnesota's right in that. I mean, they lost Michigan, they lost Wisconsin, they lost, you know, Pennsylvania, Ohio. Those are the states they need to win. Mm-hmm. She kind of fits that profile a little bit. She does seem to fall into that. But if she gets desperate and tries, like, you know what, I think everybody gets a puppy, that might make news for a week. It's not going to win her the election. And then she becomes a joke. She has to make sure she doesn't cross that line.
Mm-hmm. We get into the inner kind of area now. Where you're in the middle of the stage or getting close to it. Pete Buttigieg is going to be right next to Bernie.
That one's going to be – so that – I mean – Bernie and Buttigieg are both in a kind of similar situation in that
Buttigieg has kind of cooled off now.
Yeah. I think the it's fizzled a little bit.
The shine is sort of off him now, just like it came off Beto. And that guy, he can't buy any attention.
No. He's in this debate tonight, too.
Yeah, he is.
And he cannot. He's in a lot of trouble.
I think he's done.
He's become politically the joke of the campaign.
Yeah.
And which, you know, if he can't figure out a way to turn this around at some level and at least get back to respectability.
Did you see the thing where he's walking through an airport and I can't remember which airport it was, but some people are congratulating him. Did you see that video?
No.
He's walking through the video and this woman screams, "Hey, Beto, congratulations." And he raises his hand and smiles and he's all happy that somebody recognized him. "Congratulations on your 0%. And then you see his face go bump, just falls, and he walks out the door, puts his arm down. Yeah, okay, I thought that was going to be something nice. And it turned out to be ugly.
He should have suspected it at this point.
He should have.
Yeah, no, it's not going well for Beto. It's a big night for Beto, right? He needs to figure out a way to make some sort of noise and just not be an embarrassment. He can't get destroyed by someone else. He needs to make news. Buttigieg is in that weird position where, I mean, the fundraising has been fantastic. He has the most fun. He's basically leading the league in fundraising at this time. But the polling is not keeping up with him.
That's amazing.
It is amazing, isn't it?
Last quarter, I think it was $25
million.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 26 million and 25 million, and then Biden was at 24 or something.
Yeah, Biden was a little bit behind with a little bit less time.
But Joe Biden is behind Mayor Pete.
Right.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And so his fundraising is great.
Yeah.
His name recognition is still pretty low outside of these early states. You know, he has a chance to grow. The big issue with Mayor Pete, and I you know, this is, can we get it? This is a little delicate. Can we have an adult conversation about something, Pat?
I hope so, Stu. I hope so.
I just don't know if the American people can handle an adult conversation. Here's the thing with Mayor Pete. No black people will vote for him. He is continually getting 0% African-American vote.
So we're going to finally have the conversation on race?
Because
we need to have a conversation on race.
Pat.
And in this country, we just never have.
No, we will not do it.
Let's finally have a conversation on race.
People just don't notice it. You know, and that's the big problem. They don't focus on it enough. It's interesting, though, because the other Democratic candidates, you look at their crosstabs, like the different categories as white, male, female, moderate, liberal, black, white, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Most of the candidates are pretty consistent across the board there. You know, you see the Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden and Cory Booker, you know, maybe Cory Booker does a little bit better with African Americans, and Elizabeth Warren does a little bit better with the Cherokee tribe. But they all have, they're all pretty much the same. Not Mayor Pete. Mayor Pete is pretty consistent across the board, and then a big fat zilch when it comes to African American voters.
Really?
How do you win a Democratic primary with a zero?
Has that happened since the controversy in South Bend over?
It's interesting. It could be part of
the
that.
Police situation.
Do the American people, though, really know much about that particular incident?
I don't think so,
right? It's, you know, I think you go back to looking at, and I wonder if this is a part of it, and some analysts have made this case. If you go back and look at, let's say, the gay marriage constitutional ban in California, what you found there is that African Americans voted at a higher percentage with the conservative side of that argument, the
right.
ban of gay marriage,
yeah.
than did whites. It was one of those situations where the black vote kind of led the charge on the ban of gay marriage in California. And you sign it. There's a giant, I think, split among the Democratic voters between this sort of white, woke, liberal voter
mm-hmm.
who is the person who wants, you know, transgendered people in every bathroom, as opposed to the black Democratic voter who's much more conservative culturally.
Yeah.
Like it's a different, there's
yeah.
a different profile there. And for whatever reason, it could be what you were talking about. There was the police incident with Mayor Pete. Could be that they just don't know him. Could, because, you know, South Carolina, you know, you're going to, that's your third state. And it's really the first time the African-American vote shows up in large numbers. It could be that. But it is interesting to see that plays out, because it's not playing out with other white candidates. It's just Mayor Pete with the big fat zilch. He's
wow.
the one who stands out of this pack with African-American voters. And if he does not, Bernie has a little bit of that going on, and it hurt him against Hillary last time. But it's something that if he does not solve that, he has zero chance to win this nomination. He has to figure out a way
right.
to get African-Americans to vote for him.
So next to Buttigieg, as we mentioned, Bernie Sanders, right in the middle.
114 years old.
Yeah.
He mm-hmm. is. Now he has a
curmudgeon socialist,
a reported truce, a non-aggression pact with the woman standing next to him in this debate, Elizabeth Warren.
Really?
Yes. Because they're both basically socialists, right? Elizabeth likes to say
absolutely.
That she's not.
Right.
But they all have the same policies, and they compete to see who mm-hmm. can be more liberal on the policies. Bernie is, I would give him points for at least admitting it. You know,
yeah.
I think that's better than
yeah.
the Elizabeth Warren approach,
is.
Which is lying to the people and saying you're not a socialist.
And then you have the exact same policies as the socialist.
Yeah.
It's just dishonest.
Yes,
it's just a lie.
I totally agree with
flat
that.
Flat out lie.
Be honest about it.
Yeah.
Say the truth.
Yeah.
And
why not? They're all doing that now. You know, that when they're democratic socialists, they usually come out and just say, I'm a democratic socialist.
Yeah. And you're seeing this, you know, when you look at these candidates, what would these sort of far left-wing policies that they're going after? Because Medicare for all, right? If you say it in the terms of Medicare for all who want it, right? You're not outlawing private insurance, you're just letting people choose a public option if they wish, right?
Right, that's nonsense.
That, to me, of course, is nonsense, but generally
speaking... And they tried that one already on us. If
right.
you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan.
If we fall for that again...
Oh, my gosh.
Embarrassing, especially from the same person, Joe Biden,
right.
Who was pitching it last time. But that policy, generally speaking, is relatively popular. It's popular among Democrats, very popular among Democrats. And mm-hmm. the voters as a whole say, well, I guess if I can just have an extra choice, I want it. Now, that's a terrible policy, and obviously I disagree with it, but that is moderately popular. What's not popular is outlawing private insurance. What's not popular is giving universal health care to illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
These things are vastly unpopular policies, and everybody on stage is embracing them because they're all trying to race each other to the left. I think it was, I think last time they actually asked the hand raise question, hey, who would give free health care to illegal immigrants? All the candidates raised their hand. All of them.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, by the way, you'll notice they've outlawed the hand raising question now.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they're not doing it anymore because they don't like to be put in these box of actually having to take an opinion. Because, you know,
wow.
if you have a long answer, you can always work your way out of it later.
Uh-huh.
If you raise your hand, it's a lot tougher.
Uh-huh.
Only Kamala Harris tries that. She'll raise her hand and then say the next day she doesn't believe in the policy. But no one else is really ballsy enough to try that. So it's going to be interesting to see if that type of moment happens, because if Warren and Sanders are on that front of basically saying, look, no more private insurance, this is a policy that even Democrats don't approve of. So they're going to go so far left to win this nomination. Can they come back anywhere close to the middle to try to beat Donald Trump in a general election? It's going to be really difficult.
We're only 60% of the way through this list of 317 candidates on stage tonight. We'll sum up the last remaining 40% coming up in about a minute.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Massachusetts only. Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Paul J. Morgan, Winter Park, Florida. Greg Hoppe, New Jersey. Michael Bro Gonzalez, admitted, Louisiana. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type are referred to other attorneys for principal responsibility. Mesothelioma. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been affected by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today. 1-800-513-1816. The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. Thousands of U.S. veterans and trade workers are at risk for the disease. Nearly $30 billion in court-ordered trusts has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be able to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-513-1816. That's 1-800-513-1816. 1-800-513-1816.
Round two of the debates tonight.
Round 2A.
Because it's the first night of round two.
And in debate 2A, they will all oppose 2A, the Second Amendment. That's a totally different thing. But yes, 2A, and then we'll have 2B, and then there will be a third round where it gets a lot harder to get into the debate. So this could very well be the last time you see so many of these smiling faces.
There's also something really agonizing on the way, and that's a climate change town hall. That's coming up on September 4th.
Oh, they are doing that
with
huh?
all that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Won't that be great?
Now, is that the next? That's not the next round of debates.
It's before the next round of debates. So they're not considering it a debate because everybody's on the same side of that. So
socialism.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. So far we've talked to Marianne Williamson, Tim Ryan, Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg. Then you got Bernie Sanders in the middle with Elizabeth Warren. And just next to Elizabeth Warren will be Beto, which is kind of surprising. He still has enough juice to get next to Elizabeth Warren. And then the guy who's supposedly so moderate that he just went to porn movies with his mom when he was 18. It's a beautiful story. Brings a tear to your eye.
Mm.
But John Hickenlooper.
Yes. Now, Hickenlooper
has been opposing socialism, though, in the party, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the few that will actually say socialism isn't a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
That being said, and it's not a coincidence, his campaign is completely falling apart. He's had all these advisors leave. He has not polled well anyway.
Well, he's not extreme enough.
No, right? I just don't think there's a place for somebody like this.
There's not.
We all know that Joe Biden is there. And Joe Biden is not a moderate in any way. He's a moderate if you go like back to 1989 and then Soviet Union. He's a moderate, right? Like, but he's not a moderate. He is a hardcore liberal. He's just an old school liberal that will at least acknowledge capitalism occasionally. He's a union Democrat, but that's a far left figure.
Well, we forget that he was the most liberal senator in the Senate. When he became vice president for Barack Obama.
And now the question is, can he hold the nomination because he's too moderate? That's how far the left has gone in such a short time.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Really amazing.
But Hickenlooper is at least positioning himself in that wing. He's not actually a moderate either. Look at his Second Amendment history. I mean, he is a problem. Though, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he is a... He's as close as you're going to get to a moderate Democrat in the field, with the exception of the guy standing next to him, John Delaney, perhaps, who's a kind of a businessman. It's funny, this whole side of the debate stage, which is John Hickenlooper, next to him, John Delaney, next to him, Steve Bullock, are arguably the three most moderate candidates in the entire field.
Mm-hmm.
They're all standing kind of far to the right and how all are at 0%. So I don't know what exactly that says about the Democratic field, but you can't win the Democratic nomination at this point saying things like, you know, socialism is bad. You know, John Delaney said, hey, you know, Medicare for all is just bad policy. It doesn't work. And we're going to lose the election if we try to embrace that. And he's booed. He says socialism is bad. He's booed.
Yeah.
In this field.
Yeah. He's also a guy who's funding his own campaign.
Yeah. So he's,
I kind of respect.
And a little bit more potential than some of these other people, you know, like a John Hickenlooper who has no chance and no money.
Yeah.
He at least has money.
Yeah.
Which does at least, you know, he's hired decent advisors. He has a ground game in Iowa. He's Iowa or bust 100%. I mean, mm-hmm. Delaney's been in the field for a long time. He's the first candidate that announced. He's been to every county in Iowa. He's done that sort of thing. It has not worked, but he does usually show up in Iowa polls.
When you're a low profile governor of Montana, how do you even think, hey, I got a shot at this. I'm gonna run for president. I got a real shot.
Well, his argument is, no. I won a Trump state, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and
I guess
you know, this is, he got in very late. This is his first time. He was not on the stage last time, so he's one of the things. You know, he's the only new face out of this field. So in some ways, you could find that to be interesting if you're a real nerd.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know Montana. You're from Montana. Mm-hmm. Does Steve Bullock going to be dynamic enough to win this nomination?
No. I don't think
you
so.
You just said, you're just going to, no. Frank,
I'm
just say no?
Frankly,
no qualifiers?
Say no. Way out on that limb.
Wow.
Now, it might break from right out from under me, but I'm willing to get out there.
Did you know, on average, it takes police 45 minutes to respond to a home security alarm? That's almost an hour. But it's not because the police are lazy or anything like that. It's because when a home security system is triggered, most of the time, it's a false alarm, and the call goes to the bottom of the 911 list. But not if you have Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe can visually confirm that a break-in is happening, and they let the police know. Only with Simply Safe. They protect every door, window, and room. There's no contract, hidden fees, or fine print. And the around-the-clock monitoring starts at $15 a month. Simply Safe. They've got a huge deal going on right now. If you just go to simplysafe.com/Glenn and get a free HD security camera when you order. That's a $100 value. You'll have eyes on your home 24/7. Get your free HD security camera now at simplysafe.com/Glenn today. That's simplysafe.com/Glenn.
It's Pat and Stu in for Glenn. 888-727-BECK is the phone number. Pat, I want to tell you the story of Carissa Pinkston.
Oh, I've been waiting to hear Carissa's story for some time now. Yeah.
I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, so Carissa's a model. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's a 20-year-old model. And she's done something in this society you cannot do. She's participated in a banned activity, which is she has discussed her opinion on transgendered issues.
Oh,
she
no.
has decided.
Unless it's, she thinks, like, 5-year-olds should decide to change their gender, then she should be in prison.
Well, that would be okay, but that you can't say it's an opinion. It's only a fact.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
if you say it's your opinion, then you're actually on the wrong side of it, even if your opinion aligns with others.
Okay.
This is just science.
Right.
Science is that 5-year-olds should be changing their gender, you know, a couple times a week.
Yeah.
That's science. Okay.
We had a story, by the way. Maybe we should touch on that later. About parents who allowed their kids at 5 to switch genders. So they had one boy who switched to a girl and a girl who switched to a boy, and now they're 11 and 7. And so
it's going to be,
yeah, it's scientific.
I will say, like, there's going to be some interesting episodes of, like, Dateline in 20 years.
That's for sure.
When these kids are like, "What the hell, mom?"
Yeah, I was 5.
Told you
I didn't
to
know.
Fly.
Right.
You know, right. I wanted to jump off the roof with a cape on.
Yeah.
Assuming I could
funny,
fly, and it won't be funny.
It'll be really tragic.
It really will be. I mean, at least for some, you know, some, it may be fine for some. I mean, we know that the medical studies, they've done a lot of research into this, obviously, and they found that people who express in their teenage years an urge to change genders and are unable to do so,
mm-hmm.
We know that about 86% of them wind up later in life being fine with the gender they have. So there is a percentage.
Even in their teen years.
Yeah. So wow. If they say, you know what, I want to be a, if they're a boy and they say, you know what, I want to be a girl. And for whatever reason, they're not able to make that transition when they're a child. Like there's a sane parent around.
Mm-hmm.
Then later in life,
they're usually okay with it.
They're almost exclusively okay with the gender, and they're comfortable in their bodies. Now, this is a fascinating part of this, is that a large percentage of them, a disproportionate percentage of them, wind up being either gay or lesbian. Which, like, so when you're having these surgeries early, you're legitimately giving surgery to turn L's and G's into T's. Right, like the people who start off, who would wind up being lesbian and gay, you're turning them into transgenders earlier than they can even make the decision. So they wind up later in life saying, you know, I'm glad I stayed where I was. And there's an overwhelming majority of these people that wind up in that, you know, package. It's just the way that it, you know, it turns out. Mm-hmm. That is science, at least at this point in our understanding of it. However, that does not get away. That does not. None of this excuses Carissa Pinkston and her actions. Okay.
Oh no.
She came out and she apparently wrote a comment on social media in which she said, "Being transgender does not make you a woman. It makes you simply transgender." Now,
why the hate?
Right. Why the hate? Right.
Why?
That is deep hatred.
Oh.
Now she's not, of course, saying.
That's like genocidal hatred right there.
Oh, I think it's a quote from Mein Kampf. If I remember right, I'm pretty sure it's right. Like
she took it directly from Adolf Hitler.
Yes, that's my impression.
Me too.
Now, she wrote that on Facebook. She also went on social media and said, after she got a little bit of backlash, and she's a 20-year-old model, she got a little bit of backlash on this comment. So she said, I really do want to take back my trans comment, because if they can say that they're a woman, I can reclaim my virginity. Now, probably that's okay. You probably can reclaim your virginity in our society by just saying it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
Well, that's how you identify. If you identify as a virgin, you're a virgin.
Yeah, probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, she went on again and said, it's science. Now she's crossed the hate line. In a dramatic fashion.
Again, by the way, she's already crossed that line, and now she's doing it again.
Okay. So 20-year-old model, saying all these things, saying, you know, a man and a man is a man and a woman is science. I mean, this is terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens, obviously, to her? She gets fired. Of course. Jeez. Because she gets fired from her modeling job. She goes on to Instagram and is crying, is very upset about what happened to her. And she says, you know, she's crying and like sobbing, and I think she had some technical problems, so no one knew exactly what she was saying. So the next day she comes out and she makes a statement. And this is where we get all like M. Night Shyamalan twist on the story. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
She says, quote, I wasn't ready to come out about it yet, but today I got fired and I've been receiving hate mail and death threats ever since. So I'm forced to tell the truth. I am transgender.
What?
I transitioned at a very young age, and I've lived my life as a female ever since. It's been very hard to keep the secret, but what I said about trans women is a direct reflection of my inner insecurities, and I have since come to realize that I am a woman. We all are.
We're all women?
Well, I think...
Everybody on this planet is a woman?
I think
how do
maybe,
we procreate? That's strange.
Are you saying...
I'm not saying that.
No! Pat Gray just said that men cannot have children. Men cannot be pregnant. You heard it out of his mouth. I want him... get a letter-writing campaign started right now. Because you just let it slip that you believe men can't be pregnant. I want that noted on the record today. So here's this 20-year-old model comes out and makes what are called transphobic...
Actually? Or is she just trying desperately now to get out of
this? Well, she makes these transphobic sort of comments, gets fired, and then comes out as trans.
Yeah.
The next day, she comes out again with this comment. I apologize for my transphobic remark and every remark I've ever made towards the trans community. I panicked and thought if I came out as trans, If I came out as trans, I could somehow make things better.
No. So she's not
she's
trans?
Not trans. She faked coming out as trans to try to get out of getting fired for being transphobic.
Because you could, you know, check that.
You probably could.
Check. I think.
Well, you know, I don't know how that works anymore.
Well,
I don't
you
know.
Get a woman or a mm-hmm. person who identifies as a woman mm-hmm. to check her womanhood.
And you know what? No, go on.
Personhood.
Tell me, how does that, because you don't know how she identifies if you just check downstairs. Again, you're revealing yourself as such a hater. The only way you're going
to
get out
I'm
of this.
I'm just trying to help her.
The only way.
Okay. Stu.
Yes.
I'm a trans individual.
Yes. You are.
Trans. Yes. Yeah, I transitioned.
When you were young?
When I was 12. I
wow.
was 12 years old.
Because I've known you for a very long time. And,
yeah.
And I've always known you as a...
As a man.
As
but
a man.
I was born a woman. And
so you are... Are we all men?
We're all men.
Okay, good.
All of us.
She says,
okay, I'm not. I just... No, but I wait. Thought it might save me. I'm not a trans person.
Okay.
I didn't transition at 12.
Okay.
But I thought maybe it would save me. Just because okay. I got myself into trouble, according to you, and I wanted to get out of it. And so I said I was trans, but I made that up.
You're okay.
I know that surprises you, and you're disappointed now. But that's the reality.
It's like I see dead people. Actually, no, he's right there. He's real. And he's alive. Like that is
it's
the twist
so
here.
Weird.
It's so weird. So this is what
wow.
she said. This is her full comment. She says, "I apologize for any transphobic remark I've made towards the trans community. I panicked mm-hmm. and thought if I came out as trans,
yeah.
I could somehow make things better for myself. But it appears,
wow, she does.
I've only made things worse.
Yeah, huh.
You think." I'm truly sorry. I'm only 20 and I'm human. I made mistakes, but I refuse to let them define me. I hope you all can forgive me and move on from this because I'm so much more than this incident and I'm not a coward. Unfortunately, like we live in a society where they will not forgive her for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When you are 20 and she's obviously not necessarily the best decision maker, perhaps, in America. You know, she shouldn't be defined by this moment, right? Like, this shouldn't be...
No, right.
We do this constantly.
She shouldn't be fired for saying what she said. So what? She's 20.
She's
again.
20. And first of all, her comments were not that bad.
Right.
Right. It was an opinion held by the majority of the United States.
Absolutely.
Okay? So you're gonna be firing a lot of people if you're firing people for comments like that.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority... I mean, I haven't seen the polls on that specific quote that she said, but generally speaking... you're going to find that people, while accepting of those who believe they need to go through a transgendered operation or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find people who say, well, look, that is a person who is a male that has gone through a surgery. That is what's happened. They are now identifying that way and, you know, we'll do what we can to help make them feel good and support them or whatever. We're not going to be mean to someone who does this, of course.
Right.
However, most people understand that, you know, look, there is a situation that goes on when you're born. You have certain parts. You have certain DNA. You have chromosomes. Mm-hmm. They kind of tell the story. Okay?
Yeah.
They kind of tell the story. And so that is kind of what people understand. So she didn't even say anything bad. She gets fired. She comes out as trans, which is probably not the best way to handle it. And now she's saying, okay, I'm sorry I screwed up. Like, we shouldn't hold people and have them be defined by their worst moment when they're 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right. And like that is
yes.
a very constant thing that we do these days. You've seen this, you know,
over and over again.
It was one of the recent NFL drafts. They had this where one of the quarterbacks, I can't remember who it was, had comments from social media back.
Josh Allen, I think.
Okay. Well, yeah. When they're like
Buffalo Bills.
15 or 16 years old, where
yeah.
they said stuff they shouldn't have said.
They did that with a couple of guys.
Yeah. And like you try to, we're digging this up and we're going to say, here's the thing that you said.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you can't, that's not the right thing, especially at that
right.
age. I mean, not even an
right.
adult. At least this model here is 20 years old. But I mean, when you're 15, 16 years old, like basically you have immunity for doing dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, with the exception of like massive harm, like I ran over a bunch of kindergartners. You don't get immunity from that. But when you're just saying something dumb, you just get immunity from it. That's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
We should all say anything that you did in that era, it's just... You just excuse it because you're learning the ropes. You're understanding the world. It takes time.
Which is the more interesting story? If she would have really been trans and made the transition at a very early age, or is it more interesting that she claimed to be trans and then isn't? I'm not sure which is the more fascinating story there.
At some point, we're going to get a story of one of like a, you know, someone transitions at 5 years old.
Yeah.
They turn into an adult, are pissed off about it. They become essentially what is now known as transphobic, and they will be attacked, and mm-hmm. we will find out that they're actually trans, and it's going to be a hell of a news cycle.
Yep.
It's going to be a really interesting one. I find that to be fascinating, though, because I don't know. I mean, I think like that's really probably the only way she could have gotten out of it, right?
Yeah.
Like
if she really would have been trans, that would have, I think, smoothed it over eventually.
And if you yell at someone, if you attack someone and get a trans person fired, are you not the one transphobic? I don't know. These are all new rules, Pat.
888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, 888-727-BECK. U.S. women's soccer team, just for your information, did get paid more than the men.
Wait.
So the
U.S. went through like 2 weeks of news cycles saying it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Now it did happen?
Yeah, now it did happen.
Okay.
U.S. soccer caved, and they did pay them. They did pay them more.
Oh, okay. Well, that's... So they basically mm-hmm. just caved to the pressure and gave him a bunch of cash.
Yes. Now, the thing is it fair? Should they get equal pay? Here's the thing. The women, for the last 10 years, bring in an average of $425,000 per game. Okay, so every soccer match mm-hmm. brings in about $425,000. Mm-hmm. The men bring in an average of $972 million. I mean, $972,000
more than
per
double.
Game. More than double. Yeah.
So
should they have been paid more than the men?
No.
If you consider prestige and what the U.S.
No.
got out of the World Cup, I don't know.
No, it's a numbers
right.
game. It's a revenue game.
It is.
That's fascinating. I find it really interesting when they say equal pay for equal work. Well, equal work would be playing the men's teams.
Right.
Playing a team that is inferior, which is, by the way, which every one of these teams is.
Yeah.
And I know that's hard to hear.
Well, the U.S. women's soccer team was beaten by a 14-year-old team here in Dallas
mm-hmm.
a couple of years ago.
14-year-old.
14-year-old kids.
Look, and that's
beat the women's soccer team.
That doesn't mean you delete all women's sports.
No,
it's not. It's not that argument, but it is.
It's just a different deal.
It's a different
You're
deal.
You're comparing apples to oranges. You can't do that.
And so it's not equal work. Right?
Like right.
Going by some women's basketball player is not the same as going by Draymond Green. It's not the same thing.
Right.
You know, posting up,
yes.
you know, against a 6'6" a center in the WNBA is not the same about posting up a 7'2" person in the NBA. It's
yeah,
not 7'2",
350.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's not
a little different.
Equal work.
Right.
It's not.
Yeah.
Getting tackled in the Lingerie Football League, not the same.
Are you sure about that one? Because I think that one might be about the same.
It's about the same.
Yeah,
because I mean, I've seen some of the women in the Lingerie Football League, and they do look like linebackers. That's just by the way, I want to take that back, and I am trans. I want to come out right now as trans. I am trans.
You are in the.
I transitioned to the young
lingerie
age,
football
and
team.
And I am on the lingerie
right.
football
yeah,
league.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, so just so you know the background.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program, 888-727-BECK. Trump, of course, being called a racist now for many things, what he said about Baltimore the other day, and now what he has said about Elijah Cummings. Now, Elijah Cummings can say whatever he wants about Donald Trump, but if anything comes back to Elijah Cummings, why then that's racism. We'll get into that and much more coming up in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Health concerns are a sad part of life. I mean, it seems like there's always something that either hurts or bothers us health-wise, right? Well, if that's you, you really need to see what CBD products can do for your health. CBD may offer many of the health benefits of marijuana, but without the high. So it's 100% legal and requires no prescription from CBDistillery.com. The health testimonials are impressive, like this customer who wrote, "I highly recommend CBD to everyone. It's done a complete turnaround for me." Another customer wrote, "CBD made a big difference in my health." Look, if you haven't tried CBD for that health concern, you should. But where you get CBD products is crucial. With independent lab tests and nearly 250,000 customers, you can trust CBDistillery.com. See what CBD can do for your health. Go to CBDistillery.com and enter RELIEF for 20% off. Again, enter RELIEF for 20% off at CBDistillery.com. CBDistillery.com.
Been amazing the last couple of days to listen to the firestorm over Baltimore, Maryland, and whether or not it's rat infested, which it is, whether or not it's crime infested, which it definitely is, whether or not it's run down in some parts of the city, which it absolutely is. Glenn and I lived in Baltimore for about 2 years, and it was having some problems then. They had just finished the Inner Harbor shortly before we got there. And I can't remember if they spent $1 or $2 billion on the Inner Harbor, but they were trying really hard to redevelop and make Baltimore a nice place.
But it is nice in some areas.
And in some areas, it really is nice.
Camden Yards is still legendary.
Yeah, Camden Yards is great.
Yeah.
They've done some great things for their sports teams. There are some nice, obviously there's rich areas of Baltimore, just like there is rich areas of every other major city in this country.
And that's been one of the tricks they've been doing.
Yeah. They'll talk about all the rich areas.
Oh, what? Donald Trump doesn't know that there's this nice suburb that's right. Part of the district?
Well, I think you can probably guess that what he was talking about was not that particular part of the city, you know, and given, and Stelter did this, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. He comes out and he's like, look, he doesn't even know I'm from Maryland, and look at this. You can't even, he doesn't even know that these parts are also parts of the districts, and he shows some of the nice areas.
Of course, then, there's going to be nice parts.
Now, right. And so what you would say is, well, perhaps he watched a video, right, where he was shown the bad parts of Baltimore, and that's what he was referring to. Yeah. Now, you can excuse Brian Stelter for not knowing that, except for the fact that immediately afterwards, he shows the exact video that Trump saw, which was highlighting the inner city and the bad parts.
Wow.
So he absolutely knew what Trump was referring to, but there's this effort by the media to pretend as if they don't know what he means, so that therefore they can score a couple of extra points against him. And it's mind-numbing.
To listen to him, it sounds like Baltimore is a mixture of Disney World with Universal Studios.
Right.
That's how wonderful Baltimore is.
Plus sandals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it...
Plus, a beautiful, like the Bellagio.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It's partly like the Bellagio with the fountains.
And it's going to surprise people when they go to Baltimore and they find that there's no Bellagio there. There's not too many Disney World type rides. And in some places, it's really not a lot of fun. And some of the residents have actually gone out through their neighborhood, recording what's going on in their neighborhood and showing you the blight in Baltimore, where row houses have been abandoned and falling apart for decades. And they're still there. Trees have grown inside the building that are taller than the building. This isn't something that happened yesterday. It's been going on in Baltimore for a long time.
And it's
long time.
There are a lot of Democrat-run cities where you can find these areas. All of them.
Almost all of them.
I mean, remember when we were doing Pat and Stew here on The Blaze, we attempted to buy a home in Detroit for $3.
Right. That's right.
They had a home where you could actually, I was on sale for like $3. And we attempted to buy it, though we realized afterwards that the taxes would be so high that maybe that our budget wouldn't allow for it.
Yeah.
In fact, our budget didn't actually allow for $3 either, but it did allow for us to pay out of our own pocket the $3. Wasn't willing to jump on the $10,000 a year taxes to own a home. in the middle of nowhere in Detroit. But they, I mean, that's what they talk about. They're talking about raising entire areas. Just get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Knock it all down.
Yeah.
Make it a field. Uh-huh. That's a better outcome than what we have. And
it would be.
And it would be, except for God only knows what environmental things would be released when you knock those buildings down.
True.
And there's all sorts of issues, which is why they just leave these things up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's happened in Baltimore. There are large areas. The mayor of the city is walking around. They had the video from 2018. She's like, we should just knock all this stuff down.
It also happens to be the city, the large city, with the highest homicide rate in the nation. You can't argue
just
with
number
that.
One, though.
And it's just number two overall, even with small cities.
Right.
I think it's second only to the mean streets of Helena.
I don't think Helena has that.
You think so?
No, I don't think so. But it is higher than Guatemala and Honduras.
The murder rate?
The murder
rate. In Baltimore?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 56 per 100,000.
Yeah.
That's incredibly high.
And listen to Democrats when they talk to you about Guatemala and Honduras, and they will tell you that it's so bad, people have to be allowed asylum coming across our border.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah.
People going across the border of Baltimore to Washington, D.C. for asylum.
Yeah.
I'm coming to Silver Spring, Maryland for asylum.
Yeah, maybe that's what we should open up that policy, because that is what, remember, this is what their argument is on the border. Well, you have to let these people in. They're victims of gang violence in places like Honduras, and they have to be allowed in. Well, the murder rate is worse in the city you're defending than it is in those areas.
Amazing.
Amazing.
It's amazing. And you know, it's not like Donald Trump is the first politician to have noticed that something's amiss in Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's happened before.
Yeah.
There was a politician back in 2015, I think.
Yeah. I think his name is Barack. Barack
Obama?
Obama? Obama? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Barack Obama. Yeah. He was describing the woes of Baltimore as well. Here's what he said.
And without making any excuses for criminal activities that take place in this community, what we also know is that if you have impoverished communities that have been stripped away of opportunity, where children are born into abject poverty. They've got parents often because of substance abuse problems or incarceration or lack of education themselves can't do right by their kids. If it's more likely that those kids end up in jail or dead than that they go to college. In communities where there are no fathers who can provide guidance to young men.
How dare you? Oh, wow.
Communities that where there's no investment. Oh, my gosh. And manufacturing has been stripped away. And drugs have flooded the community, and the drug industry ends up being the primary employer for a whole lot of folks. In those environments, if we think that we're just going to send the police to do the dirty work of containing the problems that arise there without, as a nation and as a society, saying what can we do to change those communities, to help lift up those communities and give those kids opportunity, then we're not going to solve this problem. And we'll go through the same cycles of periodic conflicts between the police and communities and the occasional riots in the streets, and everybody will feign concern until it goes away, and then we go about our business as usual.
Wow. Bernie Sanders also toured it during the last campaign in 2016, and when he came out, he did his press conference about how Baltimore isn't like an American city. It's like he was touring a third world nation. Is that not racist to say? How dare you say that about Baltimore, that beautiful, wonderful, utopian city?
And when you add up the profile of the racism of Bernie Sanders, first of all, you have this comment, which is just clear, blatant racism. In fact, if you're a journalist, you can't say anything else. You must say that he was a racist, and you know he was a racist because obviously he said these words, and that means anyone who says that is a racist.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, here's a guy who's chosen to live in Vermont his whole life, one of the whitest states in America, and has over and over again told us he wants our country to be like Sweden.
Another white place.
Norway.
Yep. Mm-hmm. White.
Denmark.
White.
White countries. This man is blatantly a racist. Which, by the way, you, I think, are allowed to say about public figures now. I know back in 2009, it was a giant, horrible thing that Glenn Beck did when he said the president might be racist. That was terrible.
Right.
But now, mm-hmm. it's completely okay.
Now it's almost encouraged to call the president a racist.
Not even almost.
You have to.
You have to.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, listen, you know, we talked about the Brian Stelter clip earlier. He says, first of all, absolutely racist. But, I mean, his job is to judge other journalists, right, and media companies on how they're covering it. And he was mm-hmm. beating up on companies that just say, well, his racially tinged comments. That's not enough. You have to say they are racist. He is a racist.
Unbelievable.
This, by the way, on that front, from back from 2009, Jonathan Capehart, do you know him? I guess he's a commentator who was on MSNBC in 2009 talking about Glenn. Said, how is it possible that this guy can sit on national television and call the president of the United States a racist? Glenn Beck and people like that need to stop this because, you know, throwing the R word, the racist word, and some of these words are conversation stoppers. We're never going to get past the point where the Glenn Becks of the world who will just hurl that out at people. And I know there are blacks who do it and whites who do it, but when it's done, people, they go to their battle stations, they harden their positions, and they don't want to talk. So you should never do that. August 9th, 2018, Jonathan Capehart, column, yes, Donald Trump, you are a racist.
Wow.
There have been so many instances of Trump's racism that I don't have time to look for them all. It's like there's not an ounce of credibility from these people in the media.
And what they always turn to is, he actually said the president wasn't born here. What race is a person who's born somewhere else?
Yeah.
I don't understand how that's automatically racist. That's nonsense. Just because if you were a birther, first of all, we hated that particular argument because... it was used to negate every other argument we had against Barack Obama. And so it was just not helpful. But it didn't make you a racist if you believed that the president, his birth certificate was whatever, not legitimate in Hawaii or whatever. Right. That doesn't make you a racist. It's just, it's neither does.
No, I mean, it makes you wrong. On that particular story.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that a million times. But when you go back and you look at the polling of that era, you find a healthy chunk of Democrats who believed that Barack Obama was not born in the United States.
And why was that? Because
they were racist?
And because the Hillary campaign was perpetuating the same thing, that he maybe wasn't born here. I mean, didn't we get that from her in the first place?
Yeah.
I think that's where it all originated, was with Hillary. She denies that. But it came from someone in the campaign.
No, I mean, it does. There's not a question. I mean, there was definitely that was the foundation of it. It was a memo from the Hillary campaign where they were trying to strategize ways to beat Barack Obama in 2008 in the primary.
Right, and that was one of them.
And that was one of the things
that
they were talking about.
Maybe he wasn't born here.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you go back and look at, you go back and look at this, you find that there was not only... if I remember right, there were more people outside of the Republican Party who believed Barack Obama was born in Kenya than there was inside the Republican Party. Because, you know, including independents, it wasn't all Democrats, but there was a significant amount of people who believed that. And look, that wasn't... I'm sure some people who believe that were also racists. There probably was a nice crossover there. But it's not. It was not exclusively that way. I mean, it was not correct. But I think it's... Here we go. I'm pulling up these old numbers. 38% of birthers were Republicans. This is according to an ABC poll. 38% of birthers were Republicans.
Meaning 62% were not.
Right. And if I'm a Republican in this era, I'm repeating that nonstop, and they never really bothered with it. But it was one of those things where
they never really bother with any defense of the party.
Yeah.
Which
15% of Democrats though were birthers. 15%. It was 30% of Republicans.
Wow.
But, you know, there were more Democrats and independents in the poll than there was Republicans. And this was pretty consistent throughout the polling of that era, mm-hmm. where people believe, like, and look, and it's not even necessarily a negative, right? Like, it's not. Now, there was a negative because it was tied to the presidency, but there's no negative in someone being born in another place. It's just the circumstances of your birth.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean anything. It's not a negative criticism, and it's certainly not necessarily a racist criticism. Does a Swede, if a president came, you know, if there's some guy who from Sweden who came over here, the guy who started IKEA came over here and ran for president, you could still be critical of him and not based on race.
And Democrats were critical of John McCain for being born in Panama.
Yep.
And some tried to say, well, he wasn't born here. He can't run for president. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't that long ago. That was 2008.
Here's the we have one more second before we leave. This is a memo, 2007 memo to Clinton. From Mark Penn, one of his advisors, said all of these articles about his boyhood, meaning Obama's boyhood in Indonesia and his life in Hawaii, are geared towards showing his background is diverse, multicultural, and putting it in a new light. Save it for 2050. It also exposes a very strong weakness for him. His roots to basic American values and culture are at best limited. I cannot imagine America electing a president during a time of war who is not at his center fundamentally American and thinking in his values. Every speech should contain the line that you, Hillary, were born in the middle of America to the middle class in the middle of the last century, and talk about the basic bargain, about the deeply American values you grew up with, learned as a child, that drive you today. Let's explicitly own American in our programs, the speeches and values. He doesn't. Let's add flag symbols to the backgrounds of campaign events, etc. We are never going to say anything about his background, but... Do what he outlined there. That was really the Democratic roots.
Amazing.
Of the, and that is, by the way, all quoting from a memo in the Clinton campaign and an article from Bloomberg, not some right wing source. And the title of the article is "The Democratic Roots of the Birther Movement." So you can criticize all you want, and you know we did. The Birther Movement did not have a factual basis. It had a basis in the Democratic Party, though.
Yeah, absolutely. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kathy Lee Gifford. You and I are busy people. Some days it's just not enough time to get everything done. Am I right? Well, that's why you need Tackle, to find help with small jobs around the house. Tackle helps you make time for what you love and find help for what you don't. Simply go to Tackle.com or download the Tackle app and look through the hundreds of pre-priced chores. Find the one you need done and voila, an approved Tackle provider will be on the way the same day. Tackle has thousands of five-star reviews, so whether it's cleaning up after a fun weekend with friends, assembling a piece of furniture, or just mowing the yard, Tackle is the proven solution that fits your schedule. So go to Tackle.com or download the Tackle app and join the thousands of satisfied Tackle customers. That's T-A-K-L. Let them tackle it.
Try the Tackle app today and use promo code TACKLE for 10% off your first job. Enter the promo code TACKLE, that's T-A-K-L, and get 10% off your first job.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. The Miss Michigan, who was stripped of her crown because of controversial tweets, is claiming now that it's harder to publicly admit you're conservative than it is to come out as gay. She's 20 years old. Her name's Kathy Zhu. She was the vice president of college Republicans at the University of Michigan. She kind of doubled down at a state GOP event on some remarks that led to her losing her crown. So she won Miss Michigan, but she was stripped of that crown when she said some things on Twitter. And what she said was...
Oh, no.
Get ready for this.
Oh, no. Don't do it. Is this something you really want to say?
I want to make sure that you know this is a quote coming from her.
Okay.
Pat Gray, am not saying this.
Okay, good, good.
Quote... Did you know the majority of black deaths are caused by other blacks? She tweeted. Fix problems within your own community before blaming others, unquote.
Oh, my gosh. Did she quote FBI crime statistics?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, she did.
Oh, my gosh.
And you can't quote FBI because there's no more racist bureau than the Federal Bureau of Investigation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I mean.
I believe Jeffy actually talked to her on his podcast.
Oh, did he?
I think he did, yeah. And again, like we live in this weird world where all we're told is how we have to be more expressive.
Yeah.
And we have to express ourselves. Yet as soon as you express yourself and it's the slightest bit
you're beaten
offensive.
Down. You're beaten down hard.
Really hard.
Yeah, if you express something they don't want you to express, then it's kind of a major problem.
888-727 Beck is the number. It's Pat and Stu in for Glenn. CNN had Erin Burnett on, and apparently this has been occurring for some time. She's had a show for multiple years on CNN.
Erin Burnett?
Yeah, Erin Burnett.
Still has a show that's broadcast on television?
Yeah, it's stunning.
That's amazing.
I was amazed by it completely.
I heard there was a search party looking for her because no one had seen her in years. And then it turns up she's on... Well, no wonder we've got search parties. She's on CNN where nobody knows.
Right.
She's there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's amazing mm-hmm. that this happens. So she decides... So there's always this thing that goes on mm-hmm. in which, first of all, you start out and they say, Donald Trump is racist because he talked about Baltimore. Then people say, well, wait a minute. He talked about a city and that makes him racist? Like, can you mm-hmm. be a little more specific? You know, yesterday I asked, can you at least try to explain why this was a racist comment, not just assume it because you already think Trump is a racist, which, you know, look, you can believe that all you want.
Yeah.
But what's happened is they believe he's a racist. So therefore, when he says something about, I guess, a city where some black people live, mm-hmm. that means that he's saying it with a racist motivation.
Well, Stu, if you use the word infested, you know what that means.
That is.
Come on now.
Their fallback position now.
It
because
is.
Once they
and
found,
he's talking about rats.
Right.
Which it is infested
with
rats.
Like literally. I know you think Trump is saying some like coded language. He's meaning literally infested by rats, which is in the segment, by the way, which was produced uh-huh. by a black woman that he was watching on Fox News that inspired the tweets.
Also, I think Glenn and I have talked about when we first went to Baltimore and we worked for a station there, B104 in Baltimore, legendary station. We went. We had to go down and get promotional photos taken. And so we went down near the Inner Harbor. And there was an alleyway that we went down and posted all over, every post, every pole, everything all over the alley. Rat infestation. Warning. Caution. Rat infestation.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it was kind of obvious by the squished rats Ugh. All over the street because cars had run over them. That's how prevalent they are. They cross the street more than squirrels do in Baltimore because they outnumber people 10 to 1.
But just the 10 to
just,
1.
Just 10
just
to
10
1.
To 1. Yeah. So this has been their fallback. Okay, so now, you know, you say he's racist. We don't have evidence of it. Now we, you know, conservatives go and they find dozens of other officials that are black, that are Democrats, that are all over across the spectrum saying the same thing about Baltimore, how bad it is, the mm-hmm. rat infestation. So then they have to fall back to the next line, which is, well, sure, other people have said things that are bad about Baltimore. But when Donald Trump uses the word infestation, that's when he's saying he's racist. So here is Erin Burnett's attempt at this blog comment turned into a television monologue. Listen.
And infest is a word the president often uses when it comes to black and brown people. Just the other day, telling four minority American congresswomen to go back to the crime-infested countries they came from. Infest has become sort of a trope for Trump. Here's a couple of his past tweets. This one, Democrats don't care about crime and want illegal immigrants, no matter how bad they may be, to pour into and infest our country. And of civil rights icon John Lewis, Congressman Lewis should finally focus on the burning and crime-infested inner cities of the United States.
Oh, wow.
Infest is a loaded word throughout history.
Oh, it is.
And when people defending Trump say, well, literally there are rats in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
that shows literally a painful willingness to look the other way.
Oh, okay.
So we're racist too all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to the bottom of what he was actually saying
right.
and not try to extrapolate something sinister.
And it's, I will say, every time he uses the word infest, there are black people in America.
Really?
Every time
oh,
he's
no,
used, yes.
No,
there
really?
Have been black people in America every time he's used infest. In fact, every time he's tweeted the word infest, there have been black people on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's pretty devastating. By the way, she does not mention when he said that New Hampshire was a drug-infested den. Now, New Hampshire
predominantly black, like 98%, 99%?
Not quite. It's 93.9% white. Okay. But that was a drug-infested den. 93.9%
And by
white.
The way, another true statement, because it is. New Hampshire has the biggest problem with heroin, right, in the nation per capita, I believe.
You may be right on that. I know they've had massive problems with
very high there.
Yeah, opioids and such. And, you know, like, you can look through this. This happens over and over and over again. You know, you go through. The New York Times has maintained this list. 598 people and organizations that Trump has insulted. You can go through any letter. We're gonna pick a letter here, Pat.
A.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. All black people, I assume. Let's see. Stacey Abrams, black.
Black.
Black. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that black. Was a racist attack when he called her crime loving and weak on vets.
I didn't realize she loved crime.
She loves crime.
She apparently does.
Well, it's racism.
Okay.
Jim Acosta, black.
Right. No. He's actually a white person. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was crazy. Okay. Jim Acosta's crazy.
Well, see, he didn't say he was infested.
Mm. No.
Did he?
When he said General John R. Allen had failed badly and his record equals bad, we can all assume that John Allen is, of course, black. But no, he's white. Let's see. Justin Amash, who is a loser who sadly plays right into our opponent's hands.
And by the way, a white guy. Mm. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed this about Justin Amash. Mm. He is white.
Well, I know who isn't white. Anderson Cooper.
Well, yes, he is. Actually, he is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's Are white. You sure about that
I'm
one?
I'm positive.
Well, I can tell you this. Michael Avenatti's not white. Black guy.
No.
That's why when he called Michael Avenatti a third-rate lawyer who is good at making false accusations, he's looking for attention and a total lowlife.
Look at that. That's just A's.
This is A's.
All but one, white.
Let's keep going. This is for fun. B's, Jerry Brown, not looking for safety
white.
And security. White. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, an incompetent white. Judge. She should resign.
Yeah, but that's old person discrimination right there.
Matt Bai. I don't know. He's a dummy, though.
I don't know. He's a dummy?
Yeah. Alec Baldwin. He has a dying, mediocre career.
True.
He
argue with that, Hollywood.
Yeah, that's just fact.
Argue with that.
No one's pushed back on that
one. That's science, my friends.
His impersonation just can't get any worse. Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator.
White.
Someone who has done very little. LeVar Ball.
Oh, black guy. Yeah.
Racism.
There you go.
Okay, that's racism.
He criticized LeVar Ball?
Yes, and here's the problem with this one, though.
Uh-huh.
His criticism was he's just a poor man's version of Don King without the hair. Now, the problem there is he seems to be praising Don King, who is also black. So I'm not sure how we get to racism on that one. We can try. Steve Bannon, sloppy Steve.
White.
Cried when he got fired, begged for his job.
Like a dog in his office?
Yeah. He's been dumped like a dog by almost everyone.
I love it. He did use the like a dog. That's great.
Oh, gosh.
Wow, things went sour between him and Bannon pretty seriously, didn't they?
Yeah, sure did.
Ooh-wee.
I have Elizabeth Beck, who's a lawyer. Not sure about
who she is,
but I do know who the next person is.
Oh, I know Glenn Beck is among them.
Yeah. Should we go through the names that Donald Trump called Glenn Beck? This will be fun.
Yeah, this will be fun. And Glenn, of course, as everybody knows, very, very black.
Yes, and it was racism. Glenn's 80% black. The only part not black, his skin, which is sad for him because no one knows.
Yeah, right, right.
But he does identify
it
internally.
It takes all the fun out of being a minority.
It does.
When nobody knows. So...
let's see. His endorsement means nothing. That Glenn would surely agree with you
on. Yes, he would. That's science.
He's dumb as a rock. I mean, I gotta go. I'm siding with Trump on that one. He's two for two in my book. failing? I mean, I don't think he's failing at this point. No. He's lost all credibility.
Also, I don't think the president would say he's failing at this point.
No, I don't think so either. Irrelevant, a wacko, sad. He is pretty sad. I will say that.
Sad.
He's a sad
figure. He's the saddest successful person I've ever known.
Ever met in my entire life.
Yes.
Failing, crying, and a lost soul.
Wow.
Very dumb and failing. Has zero credibility. Irrelevant. Uh-huh. A mental basket case. We're all on board on that one,
yes.
I think. We can say for sure. Viewers and ratings are way down. Irrelevant. Wacky. Mm-hmm. A real nut job. And always seems to be crying.
That's amazing. I missed some of those quotes when they came out.
It's been a while. Huh. They're all very old at this point. And look, you know, they agree on more than they did. I'll say that.
That's for sure.
But it's an interesting thing to look back at this. And what is the point there? When's the last time Donald Trump insulted Glenn Beck? You know what, 2017, probably
16 or 17.
And here's the thing is like Glenn has seen a lot of the things that Trump has done and liked some of them, not all of them. He's been at times critical of Trump, but has come on board on some of the policies that he's
like. We've all been pleasantly surprised at the job he's done.
And that's what tells the story here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of these people were all saying bad things about Donald Trump at the time he was insulting insulting them, right?
Right.
When you're critical of him, he's critical of you. And that is, you can say you don't like that, and you can say you don't like the attitude.
Well, it's part of why he got elected.
Yeah.
Because people are tired of a guy who just takes it all the time. And you can't say that about Donald Trump. He doesn't take it.
No, and that's true.
He dishes it back to you.
So you could say you like it or you don't like it. That's a fine thing. But what it does do is exonerate him from your idea that it's racist.
Yes.
Because he's saying it about anyone who says something bad about them. No matter what the person looks like, he will come back and say things like this. This is what he does. It is foundational to his character and his personality. He just is going to go after you to the point, Pat, that he actually will reverse on you when you're saying nice things about him, as evidenced by no lesser example than Kim Jong-un. He's saying Kim Jong-un is a good guy and a friend right now because he's in the middle of a negotiation and trying to get Kim Jong-un to do the things that he wants. So he's saying, and Kim Jong-un is saying nice things about him. He's saying nice things about Kim Jong-un. When they were at each other's throats, the opposite was true. Right?
Right.
This is just the way he operates in public. And this is why I've made the case, you know, many times that you can't get a sense of Donald Trump's presidency by looking at the things that he tweets or listening to the things he says, even. He tells you, he told you in his writings, go back to The Art of the Deal. The things you're saying in public are largely for positioning. He's positioning himself, either it's for a negotiation or an appearance in front of the press.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go in there and say, oh, well, he's saying this, therefore we should judge his presidency by that. You should judge his presidency by his actions.
Fox News' Greg Gutfeld had a great tweet the other day. Did you see this? When he said, Trump's about to execute a white supremacist. What? Because he's bringing back the federal death penalty just in time for this white supremacist to be executed while trying to free a black rapper from jail as he pushes prison reform that directly benefits families of black men, while calling out a city where minorities are victims of crime and blight. If Trump's a racist, he really sucks at it.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Would you like to hear a little more racism coming out about Baltimore?
I don't know if I can take any more.
This doesn't happen to be from a Politico, but I'm sure that this is rubbed off on people like Donald Trump today. Has Donald Trump seen the play Hairspray? Probably. Good Morning Baltimore. Do you remember the song in Hairspray, the official movie clip? Do we have the clip? Here's some of the lyrics.
Okay. What you can compare with mine today. Oh, 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 I've got my hairspray and radio.
Now listen to this. Listen to this.
Rats on the street, I'll dance around my feet.
The rats?
The rats on the street, I'll dance around her feet.
Don't hold me back, 'cause today I'll
Wow. How dare they say these things about Baltimore?
So there's flashers that are talking to school children.
Yeah.
And
a bum on his barroom stool. Mm-hmm. There's rats on the street dancing around her feet. What kind of racist lyrics are those?
Yeah. The only explanation could be racism. If they use the word infest in this song, then we really know.
Well, it's a dog whistle.
It is a dog whistle, thank
you. Which is kind of strange, because if it was a dog whistle, then nobody would hear it, and you wouldn't know it was a racist comment. Nobody can hear. Humans cannot hear dog whistles. So if it's a dog whistle comment, that means the people you intended to hear it didn't.
No, unless you wanted dogs to hear it.
Right. No, the dogs are pissed, because they know that you just made a racist comment.
Yeah.
But not the people.
It is bizarre. I mean, you have to at least come up with some sort of justification as to why you think it's racist. I mean, really what they're saying is...
They really don't anymore.
There are some black people who live in Baltimore, and he said something bad about Baltimore. That is like legitimately
that
their
makes
argument.
Them racist, does it not?
It's ridiculous. He didn't say the black people brought in the mice. That was not his argument. He was saying that people don't want to live in an area where that is infested by rats.
So crazy.
Legit. That is like true. Everyone knows that to be true. You know, it's not something that's controversial or wasn't until he talked about it. And that is what is screwed up about the media right now. They're letting him make every decision for them.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Stu for Glenn this week. 888-727-BECK. Big debate tonight. We are going to watch this so that you don't have to and have plenty of highlights tomorrow. But the two biggies in this are Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. The two that are supposedly kind of the moderate guys that might be trying to bring the party back a little bit closer to the center than as extreme to the... They're so far left. They've actually left the planet by this point. Mm-hmm. But John Hickenlooper and John Delaney are the two guys who are considered to be moderates that are going to try to moderate the party slightly.
There's others that are trying to go down that road. Tonight you'll have Hickenlooper, Delaney, Bullock.
Oh, yeah, Bullock is trying to do this supposedly.
As well.
Yeah.
And Tim Ryan and Amy Klobuchar are trying to live in that world, too. At some level, Buttigieg is trying to do it, although all of his policies seem like, we're going to have 47 Supreme Court justices. That's it doesn't seem like a moderate policy portfolio.
He also supports a Medicare for All, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. The socialized medicine.
I mean, all of them, I think, at some level.
Free college.
And that's I think that's the incredible thing about this field, Pat, is that even the moderates are not even close to moderate.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example of this. John Delaney has been running for president since 1911. He announced in 1911 that he was going to run for the 2020 presidential nomination. He legitimately, in all seriousness, announced in 2017. So he was the first Democrat that announced.
Was he really?
Yeah, and he's been running around Iowa without anyone noticing all the way past the 2018 election. Like, all the way through, because he wanted to, I guess, get out in front.
Okay.
Which he did. Not in the polls, but he did get out in front of announcing.
Yes.
And so it's done basically nothing for him. I think his theory was, I'll announce first, I'll run around Iowa and do all the retail campaigning type of stuff. Go to every district, shake hands of voters, and by the time the other candidates come to the table, I'll be doing really well in Iowa because I'll be the only one who's been there.
Yeah.
He is a independently wealthy guy, a businessman.
Yeah, he's funding his own campaign so far, at least.
Yep. Like last quarter, he raised, I think, about $8 million, about $250,000 from actual donors.
And the rest was his money.
$7 million from himself. Mm-hmm. So this is what his plan is. And so far, it's worked out really well. he's at 0%.
But it's got him all the way to zero.
Yeah, and sometimes, he has, if you're in your car right now and you're driving to work, driving to the grocery store, and you think, I'm tied with John Delaney for the Democratic National for the nomination.
That's a really good point.
It's a good way of raising your day a little bit.
And $0 on this campaign.
You haven't set your entire personal fortune on fire, and you're at 0% too.
I'm thinking you're doing just slightly better than John Delaney.
And Delaney will occasionally hit 1% or 2% in Iowa. So he does show up. Okay. He may be able to actually make the next round of debates. It's not impossible, although it's unlikely. Because he doesn't have the donors. I mean, he has to buy the donors. You know, Eric Swalwell, who dropped out of his the race, he's the first person who really kind of dropped out since this whole thing started. He said at one point he was trying to get enough donors to make it into the debate, and he had to spend like, you have to spend like $10,000 to get like 5,000 donors.
Oof.
Because you're spending to get advertising for people to just give you $1 to get to this donor number, which is, of course, ridiculous. So Delaney, though, is supposed to be the moderate. He's the guy that comes out and says, you know what? I don't like socialism. I'm going to be honest about it. You know what? Medicare for all is bad policy. It's not going to work. If you were to pick one of these people off of the stage, a lot of people would pick Delaney because, you know, if you're a conservative, because you're thinking, oh, at least this guy's just liberal. He's not crazy in the socialist world.
Right.
So let me give you a little window into what a moderate in the Democratic field looks like. Okay. Just yesterday or the day before, John Delaney released, and I'm sure this was all over cable news and all over the front page of your paper. Yeah, I'm sure everyone noticed this, you know, other than me, but I'll bore you with the details anyway. John Delaney's plan for national service. Okay?
Mm-hmm. So, like, national service in the Army?
Well, let him explain.
Okay.
To help bring people from different backgrounds together, Delaney is proposing a mandatory national service program to provide opportunities for young people to give back to their country and to meet and work with people from all backgrounds.
How wonderful.
Now, look, Pat, if you decided I want to give back to my community, you wouldn't have the opportunity to do that. With this, you would.
Fortunately, thanks to the government,
Because right now, you couldn't give back. You would have no opportunity to do that.
There's no way to do it.
This will create opportunities to do that. And the other thing, Pat, is if let's just say you wanted to work with a Croatian, a Native American, someone from Mongolia, and someone from Costa Rica.
Okay.
Right now, there'd be no way of doing that. Okay? You can't find those people.
Oh.
They don't exist.
Okay. There's no Mongolians in America?
No Mongolians.
Oh, man.
Now, luckily for you,
I'm glad they left their beef behind, though, because I like it.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, they flew in, dropped off the beef, and then left. Okay? That's what happened.
At a lot of different locations, which is really great of them.
All over America.
I love that they did that.
So this will give you the opportunity to give back to the country and work with people from all backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a moderate. Mm-hmm. He's not going to push this too far. And that's important for you to know. He's not going to go too far on this.
Okay.
Part number one, every American will complete a minimum of 1 year and a maximum of 2 years of mandatory national service when they graduate high school or turn 18. So that's just step one.
So you leave high school.
Uh-huh.
You can't go to college.
Can't go to work.
You can't go to
college.
You go in immediately into service to the country.
Yes.
Either military or some other type?
Well, we'll get into what kinds there are here in a moment. But the national service requirement will apply to individuals born after 2006, but will phase in over time.
Okay.
So you're not like Pat, you wouldn't have to do this.
I wouldn't have to.
No, I know you'd want to do it.
Of course
I would,
but there's just no way for me to do
that.
No,
I can get you
right
in.
Now.
I can get you in.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, I got connections.
Oh.
So to meet the national service requirement, participants can choose from one of four options. So again, pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
You get to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, you can serve in our nation's military. Okay?
All right.
Number two, you can serve in a new expanded community service program. Number three, you can serve in a new national infrastructure apprenticeship program.
That sounds really good.
Okay.
Yeah, so I can learn how to build bridges and fix roadways.
Now, we've so far created two massive organizations. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I did. Mm-hmm.
And we've required people, everyone over 18, to do 2 years of service to the government, or 1 year, but a maximum of 2 years.
Okay.
So it could be two, but it won't go over two.
All right.
Until they expand it later on.
Yeah.
And finally, Pat, you, and only you, because I know you're going to be excited about this one, you can serve in the newly created Climate Corps.
Oh, the Climate Corps.
Mm-hmm.
That has Pat Gray written all over it.
So community service would operate similar to the AmeriCorps or the Peace Corps.
All right.
You can work on projects such as mentoring,
mm-hmm.
literacy tutoring for disadvantaged students.
Nice.
Awareness programs for public health campaigns.
Okay.
Outreach activities for social service programs and structured after-school care programs. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you can spend your year of service. That's mandatory and required now by the government. Or you could go to the infrastructure apprenticeship. You could enter, so the government would enter into public-private partnerships with private companies and trade unions to offer infrastructure apprenticeships. Private companies would be awarded contracts to undertake projects such as improving public parks or renovating federal buildings to make them environmentally green. So you could, like, when you're 18, you get out of high school,
mm-hmm.
you just go serve the government in a mandatory sense by making buildings green. And I don't think it's like paint. I don't think it's painting them green. I think it's like environmental stuff.
Yeah.
You could have a trade union. It will be utilized as the programs can leverage successful apprenticeship model used by trade unions. Or you can get a professional certificate proving mastery of a particular skill set.
Okay.
Now, so far, you're pretty excited about this, I think.
I'm psyched.
And, you know, this is funny because this is a guy who's in a do-or-die situation. Mm-hmm. This is what he's released. This is why the campaign's not working. But the Climate Corps, I think, is going to be fun for you. I know that's what you were talking about. To fight climate change, participants would assist in clean energy projects, including solar installation. So you get out of high school, you start installing solar panels.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
You just go right in for free.
I'm not paid for this. Okay. How do I exist?
It does say mandatory service. Then, maybe you will get paid. I don't know. Well, maybe that's...
Because I got to make a living somehow.
You got benefits coming up.
Okay.
That's next coming up.
All right, good. All right.
You can improve building efficiency.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you do that.
I feel strongly about that. Right. Yeah, I do that a lot right now. Yep.
Developing community gardens. Now, I know you've put in...
One of the biggest gardeners you've ever met.
And you can increase awareness.
Both my thumbs are green, not just one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Both of them.
You can also increase awareness about sustainable practices. So if, like, let's say you get out of high school at 18, mm-hmm. you go to a street corner and just start yelling, sustainable practices! Practice more sustainably! Hey, you! Why is your practice not as sustainable as I would prefer? Please make it more sustainable. Thank you. And you just do that for a year.
That would be awesome.
It works well.
That would be great.
You can provide information and support to families about sustainability.
Okay.
So you can yell at individuals or families.
Or families.
You will be stationed. Uh-huh. And this is a...
Oh, I'm going to be stationed somewhere? I can't do it where I live.
No.
Okay.
You'll be stationed.
So they're going to move me somewhere. Mm-hmm.
You'll be stationed in rural and low-income areas to assist communities transition to a green economy and invest in environmentally friendly projects.
And again, this is moderate John Delaney's plan.
Yes. Mandatory service for 1 to 2 years. Now, the benefits, Pat. This is where it gets good.
Here we go.
Are you ready? The program will be paid. Now, again, so think of the government, what's happening here. We've now created three new government programs that will pay everyone who's 18 years old for service that they must do.
Wow.
Amount will vary on cost of living and whether housing is provided through the program. So we may be providing housing for this.
Okay. We should get through the rest of this in about 60 seconds.
Okay.
Take a break and then we'll be right back with the rest of what you can do.
Because people are going to want to sign up.
They're going to want to sign up now.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. More coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-637-9116. That's 800-637-9116, 800-637-9116, or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985,
We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's Pat and Stu for Glenn. Now, Glenn, Stu has promised that the best of this John Delaney plan is still to come.
Oh, I think so.
Hopefully he'll outline this tonight, because I don't think he got around to that last debate.
No.
But this is important stuff. There's mandatory service as soon as you leave high school for at least 1 year, maybe two.
Yep. And you can serve in the Climate Corps if you want.
Love
which
that.
Will help you. And you just get out of high school, install some solar panels, or yell at people about sustainability.
Talk about making a difference.
Yes. Now, you will get, potentially, you'll make it housing from this and a salary.
Wait, they're going to put me up in a free place?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
In some, like when you're traveling to the rural area that you have to install solar panels, they will give you housing for that.
Okay.
If you do 1 year of service, it will result in 2 years of free in-state tuition. At a public university, community college, or technical school. 2 years of service will result in 3 years of free in-state tuition. Now, again, how much is this? Again, we're paying for free college, essentially. But you have to do something for the free college. Again, that's the moderate, right?
Yeah.
Like Bernie Sanders gives it to you for free.
Wow.
John Delaney says you have to mandatory service. Now, whether you want to go to college or not, you still got to do the service. But they're going to force you into government service. And you will learn skills to build future jobs. And then this is all part of his larger climate plan. Now, the larger climate plan is a bargain, because that's how I'm going to describe it right away. There's a climate crisis going on, as you know. We have to act on the climate, and we have to act now.
Well, if I may be so bold, Stu, we can't afford not to.
Oh, my gosh. That's a brilliant thing to say. And you're going to continue to say it after I tell you the cost.
Yes.
$4 trillion.
Well, we can't afford not to.
Now,
what will it cost us if we don't?
$5 trillion, maybe?
No, the planet itself.
Okay.
We'll die.
I would assume it's more than $4 trillion.
It is.
I hope.
Yes.
Now, $4 trillion, this includes a new...
$4 trillion.
And remember, let's take the $4 trillion for what it is. Which is his estimate of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Not a real estimate of the cost, but his
estimate.
So you could
probably figure double or triple that.
Right, exactly. A new carbon tax or fee. Okay, it could be a tax or a fee. Again, pro-choice. Tax or a fee.
I could pay either one.
Mm-hmm. This, again, is the moderate in the field. $15 per metric ton of CO2. He will reduce carbon emissions by 90% by 2050.
All right.
And now look, you might say, well, that doesn't sound all that moderate. However, Jay Inslee, Michael Bennett, Beto O'Rourke all have their own climate proposals. Beto O'Rourke is $5 trillion. So he's saved $1 trillion.
Wow. So he
is pretty impressive. He is the moderate.
Yeah.
He's only going to charge you $4 trillion. For his climate plan, and make you go to service to the government for a year or two. I mean, this is the moderate in the field.
It's almost like what Israel does. You have to have, you know, your mandatory military when you get out of high school there. When you're 18, I think from 18 to 20, you serve in the military, period. So that's essentially what we'd be doing here in the United States.
Except you wouldn't have any skills.
Right.
You'd just be like, I can theoretically... raise awareness about sustainability.
And it doesn't have to be something super worthwhile like the military. It could be the climate, what do they call it? The
Climate Corps?
The Climate Corps.
Are you saying the Climate Corps is not
totally worthless? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Completely,
oh, wow.
Completely worthless.
But only in every way.
Yes, only and that's important every single way.
For people to understand. It will
wow.
do nothing and accomplish nothing. But it will cost $4 trillion. So that's good.
Good luck, America.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kathy Lee Gifford. You and I are busy people. Some days it's just not enough time to get everything done. Am I right? Well, that's why you need Tackle, to find help with small jobs around the house. Tackle helps you make time for what you love and find help for what you don't. Simply go to Tackle.com or download the Tackle app and look through the hundreds of pre-priced chores. Find the one you need done and voila, an approved Tackle provider will be on the way the same day. Tackle has thousands of five-star reviews, so whether it's cleaning up after a fun weekend with friends, assembling a piece of furniture, or just mowing the yard, Tackle is the proven solution that fits your schedule. So go to Tackle.com or download the Tackle app and join the thousands of satisfied Tackle customers. That's T-A-K-L. Let them tackle it.
Try the Tackle app today and use promo code TACKLE for 10% off your first job. Enter the promo code TACKLE, that's T-A-K-L, and get 10% off your first job.
Now, how much do you want to vote for John Delaney? Wow.
I know. And again, you might actually, if you had to pick, you may actually pick John Delaney. That's how bad this field is. The Democratic Party has moved so far, so fast.
Yeah.
Every single candidate in this field supports some version of Medicare for all, with the potential exception of Joe Biden, who is just saying massively expand Obamacare. And really, there's not much difference there. He just doesn't want to destroy the brand name of Obamacare. He's the only one who cares about that at this point, which is another fascinating part of this. But Bernie Sanders in 2013, 6 years ago, introduced Medicare for All and got zero co-sponsors. Zero. No one in the Democratic Party would admit to agreeing to it. No one would say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I like that plan. No one.
Staggering.
Now every candidate supports some version of it. Every one of them.
It's kind of hard to believe that that's possible. It's almost impossible to believe.
Yeah.
I mean, with Democrats like this, you don't need socialists or communists because the Democrat Party has essentially become the party of Marxism. It just is.
At least as far as their candidates go. And I think, you know, people like certainly Delaney, but also people like Biden are trying to hope that in reality,
the rank and file
is not like this. And, you know, Rahm Emanuel, again, is Rahm Emanuel a conservative?
Nope.
No. Rahm Emanuel is now calling out his party for going too far to the left and saying, hey, you're not going to win any of these voters if you start embracing things like free health care for illegal immigrants, which I think polls at 26% support nationwide.
Wow.
26%. Getting rid of private insurance, which I think polls are like at 27%. Universal basic income, which is like 26%. These are all terrible.
It's hard to believe it's that high even.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe it's even that high. 26%? That's way too high.
Yeah, it should be 0%. These things should all be 0%.
I mean, almost nothing is 0% or 100%. But you would think 6 or 7, right? 6 or 7% of the people are like, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Let's have that.
Yeah. And look, free money, people like it.
Yes.
It's just not free money, as we all know, and would not work in any way.
Wow.
But it's
staggering.
These are things, honestly, that are not even supported by a majority of Democrats in many ways.
It's why
supporting them.
If one of these guys or women are elected, I think we're just in real trouble. It just can't happen. We can't, as voters, allow it to happen. Speaking of, I don't know. I think Jeffy's coming up next, isn't he?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think.
I thought we canceled that.
Chewing the fat. We tried. We tried.
Can we get him into mandatory service to go anywhere else?
Well, he's transsexual. I don't know if you're aware.
Oh, he came out as trans.
So, yeah,
he's trans.
So we'll probably have to.
No, he's not trans.
No, he's not. No.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Health concerns are a sad part of life. I mean, it seems like there's always something that either hurts or bothers us health-wise, right? Well, if that's you, you really need to see what CBD products can do for your health. CBD may offer many of the health benefits of marijuana, but without the high. So it's 100% legal and requires no prescription from CBDistillery.com. The health testimonials are impressive, like this customer who wrote, I highly recommend CBD to everyone. It's done a complete turnaround for me. Another customer wrote, CBD made a big difference in my health. Look, if you haven't tried CBD for that health concern, you should. But where you get CBD products is crucial. With independent lab tests and nearly 250,000 customers, you can trust CBDistillery.com. See what CBD can do for your health. Go to CBDistillery.com and enter RELIEF for 20% off. Again, enter RELIEF for 20% off at CBDistillery.com. CBDistillery.com.
Want more Glenn? I mean, who doesn't? Beside my wife. Stream live or download later at glennbeck.com.
Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. You can check out my show immediately preceding the Glenn Beck program. It's Pat Gray Unleashed every morning. I'm trying to think Eastern time, 7 to 9 Eastern, 6 to 8 Central, and so on and so forth. But right now, we're also joined by Jeff Fisher to chew the fat a little bit. He's got his own podcast that you can download at your leisure.
Every day, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. Even sometimes I throw in a Saturday American Dream special.
No, you don't. That's too good to be true.
I know.
You mean you can get 6 days of Jeffy Fisher?
I know. And sometimes on Monday, you even get two podcasts.
Stop it.
Okay, so you're welcome.
Because
we do the talking series.
Beating heart.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Listen, you guys, you inspired me today.
Did we?
I didn't wake up today thinking that.
Oh no!
I'm gonna do this, but you guys have inspired me. I'm trans.
Oh my gosh!
Oh,
you are.
I'm trans. You were born as a woman, like a biological woman.
I just want to come out and say that I'm part of the movement.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
No, I'm not. I wasn't really, but I just wanted to come out.
Oh wow!
Just wanted to come out and see if I could be part of the.
Okay. Well, that didn't last
union.
Long.
Yeah. No.
So okay. Glad you were able to get that off your chest, though, because it's probably been weighing down.
It has. I feel so much better.
Just like the beauty queen, what's her face? Wasn't a beauty queen or was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, she's a model.
Yeah, she's
Carissa,
a model. That's what it is.
Yeah, this is a story we did in hour one today.
Mm-hmm.
Her story was she is a model, said some things that were negative about. Were considered transphobic by some.
So she got fired.
She got fired. The next day, she decided to come out as trans. She's like, the reason I was saying this is because I was insecure with myself. I was actually trans.
And then the next day.
The next day came out and said, by the way, I'm not trans.
No,
I shouldn't have done that.
Now, see, I'm trans and I was insecure about being trans. That only works if you really are.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she should have stuck with it.
Yeah.
You got to continue with it.
Honestly, like, how would they even question it?
They couldn't
if she identifies that way.
Right. Well, some people did go back and look at, like, I guess,
I'm
photos
sure
of her as a kid, and she seemed very much like a girl. However, how dare you?
Right.
Right.
Like, who are you to presume?
Right. Yeah.
Who are you?
You bastard. I mean, maybe she was born as a biological girl.
Yeah.
And was dressed that way by her bastard parents.
Right.
Right.
But in reality, she identified that whole time as a man.
And they didn't have the openness
or the tolerance
to allow her to make that transition at such an age.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're too hung up on their own, you know, male, female, gender, transphobic ideas of the past.
So bad.
Maybe she broke free of all that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what
else earlier you talked about Kathy Jew. You know, who the Michigan beauty queen who got the axe because of a couple of tweets that were horrific. You know,
they
were horrific. And one was actually just a reply to another tweet thread that was horrible. So you can't be doing that anymore at all. And she said, I did interview. I heard Stu talk about it. I talked to her last week, beginning of last week, Monday or Tuesday. And she I asked her if the Trump campaign had contacted her at all throughout this, and at that time she said no, and I you know, they probably won't, I'm just doing this on my own. 2 days later, she's working for the re-election campaign. They've reached out.
Really?
She's working for the re-election campaign, and the Trump campaign has already tweeted what a patriot she is, and she's speaking for American values, and she's part of it now. She's all part of the deal.
Wow.
So good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her. You know, there's also we get viral videos all the time in today's world. Mm-hmm. And you see them and you go, some of them are really cool. Some of them are scary. Some of them are funny. And then you get the ones where you watch and you go, oh my gosh. And then you stop and look back and go, wait. Like this video of this this guy that finds a baby alligator.
Crocodile Dundee.
If you're listening, he's got a little baby alligator. And the guy is filming him. He's talking about the baby alligator. And then coming up behind him is the mama gator.
Crikey.
Oh, yeah.
And they keep showing this mama gator coming up behind him and getting closer, and then they just stop. And then it just stops. And you'll see, you know, it shows the split screen of the mommy game come up on him. And, you know, the mama heard the baby crying and it's right. wonderful. No way that's real. Right. There's no way that's real. The guy filming it isn't in any kind of mode of trying to get out of there.
Well,
or
he hasn't
warning
noticed
him.
Yet. That would be the pitch, I think, of the viral video, right? He hasn't noticed it yet.
Okay. I'm just saying it's been sorry.
So you don't know. That's just your speculation.
It will come out.
Okay.
I guarantee it will come out.
Did anything come out?
Guarantee me.
I guarantee.
Do I get my money back?
Yes, you do. 100%.
Okay. I want to know.
You get your video view back.
Okay. I want to know, Jeffy, you would be the one who knows this. Has the raw chicken meat that crawls off the plate been approved?
No, it has not.
It has not.
Not that I'm aware of.
As far as I understand, it's still
real. Not
that
I'm aware of.
I showed that to my wife the other day. Oh, that's not real.
I know.
Well, nobody said it isn't. It's not real. It just can't be. Well, yeah, it's the nerve ending. No, nerve endings are alive at that point.
Right.
Okay.
They are saying they think it was not a chicken, but it was a frog. It was frog meat.
Okay.
That's what happens. That's what they said.
That was a weird bone for a frog.
It was. It was really creepy. And this is like apparently, whether this video is real or not, and it does. Everyone's assuming at least, and the reporting is that it is actually real video.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not. It's not something that it hasn't happened
before.
Right? Like,
right?
It's something that has happened.
That will happen on occasion if the meat. Is freshly cut.
Right. If you haven't seen the video, basically, if you go to a grocery store and you get a raw chicken, it looks kind of like that. You know what I mean? It's sitting on a plate about to be cooked, and it crawls off the plate.
It's at one of those restaurants where they cook the meal in front of you, it looks like.
Isn't that what it looks like?
Benihana kind of place or whatever. But as my wife pointed out, well, hasn't the chicken been defeathered? The head's been cut off. They've done a lot of dressing to it. They've cut it up like this. Yeah. And then it comes to your table and it's still fresh like that.
Weird.
I don't know. But
they skinned the animal. By the way, I think it was a frog and not a chicken, which would explain the feather thing.
There's not as many feathers on frogs.
There's less feathers on frogs than you'd expect.
Depends on where you get them.
Right, that's true.
Depends on where you get them. You can get the feathered frogs.
Fair.
I mean, that is a big frog if that's a frog.
Yeah, it is. Holy cow.
The bone that the meat comes on is like 18 inches.
No.
It has to be. Well, maybe 12. Maybe it's a foot long.
Are you a fisherman now? I caught the fish. It was this big. Also, I'm so sick of living here in the United States. I'm sick of hearing about Baltimore and being a quote from Pat Gray, and Pat Gray Unleashed was Baltimore was a Democratic, a progressive hellhole.
Yes.
I believe was the quote.
Yes. because of 70 years of Democrat leadership, let them right into that hellhole.
It's time for a change. And the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia agrees, which is why he's going to be building the $500 billion mega city in the middle of the desert, which I'm looking forward to moving to. I don't know about you.
$500 billion mega city.
You heard about this city?
Yeah.
33 times the size of New York City. All right. It's going to have.
Wait, 33 times the size of New
York? That's what it says here. 33 times the size of New York City.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
You're going to have flying taxis, a giant artificial moon that will be illuminated every evening. State-of-the-art security and surveillance system, which, you know, I'm a fan of course. You'll use drones, security cameras, facial recognition technology to track everybody. Cloud seeding technology to make artificial clouds.
They want rain in the desert where it doesn't rain very often.
School classes taught by holographic teachers. leading education on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a Jurassic Park-like island filled with robotic dinosaurs to entertain residents and visitors.
Come on.
A dining scene, the highest rate of Michelin-starred restaurants, which I'm not sure why you'd want to eat tires even in the desert, but okay. And be done by 2030. Good luck. And I would have to say that 500, I think he's going to spend a little bit more.
I definitely want to visit. I don't want to see that if they can pull it off.
Oh, my gosh.
Can they build a $500 billion city before we die? Is that possible?
I think
that's past our lifetime, I feel like. And also the princess.
They said 2030 is the target date.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it'd be fun to fun to go to?
It would. Yeah, no, it sure seems it amazing. Why do you want a giant light-up moon? What's the
problem? I'm not sure. We do have an actual moon.
Yeah.
That you could probably see from where you are.
But not every night.
Yeah,
some
pretty
night,
much.
Nah, some nights there's clouds in front of it.
Well, that's true.
Yes. Lots of clouds in the desert.
Lots of clouds. Yeah.
Tons. Yeah.
The sandstorms and stuff. You can't have that.
It's true.
So you just want to block it out. Can it be done? I don't know. But it's going to be fun to watch them try.
I will say it's a big enough government project that I could see it being proposed tonight on stage. I could see would Elizabeth Warren
before
pitch?
This? Absolutely.
She'd be like,
100%.
What? We need to build a $500 billion city in Baltimore. And it'll be, we need a giant light up moon. This is all stuff that you could see being proposed by a Democrat on stage tonight.
Absolutely.
How is it that Baltimore became this new shining city? Just from one tweet.
It is amazing.
Maryland. It's been a Democratic hellhole forever. I mean,
have you
lived
seen
there.
It this time of year? Just when the late summer rains start to wash away the dead body chalk outlines?
My only experience in Maryland is being pulled over by a state trooper once. That's it.
Shocking.
Going through the state. I know.
I will say, I think we're at the point, and I coming into this, I was a little, for example, we talked about this quite a bit at the time on Pat and Stu and other shows. I was not sure Donald Trump had really had a conversion on the life issue. You know, he had never really discussed it before. He said he was pro-life, and I think he's done a good job. He supported the pro-life cause much more aggressively than I would have expected. However,
and more aggressively than other Republican
and more aggressively
presidents
than,
have done.
He's done a good job on that issue, and we've praised him many times over it. However, what if instead he comes out and says he's pro-choice now, reverses himself and says, I love abortion. Only horrible, horrible people would want to stop it. In fact, I think we should have abortions 6 months after birth.
I mean, the haters are going to have to reverse, right?
Yeah, Kamala Harris would be like, no more abortions. They've got to be illegal. Close down Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
They have to oppose everything he believes.
MSNBC would be doing segments about how the horrible destruction of life he was advocating
I'd
for.
I'd almost like him to do that just to watch.
Just to see
bend
what
over
happens.
Backwards to oppose him.
He should come. I mean, we've seen it legitimately happen with free trade. I mean, the Democrats opposed free trade. They wanted the union take on protectionism for decades. You could have watched any cable news network over the past 30 years and watched them say how great tariffs are.
Absolutely.
And how great protectionism was. And as soon as Donald Trump came out and said he wanted tariffs, they're all against it. And they're all on the free trade side now.
Yep.
This is incredible. He should just come out and oppose all of these things.
Be great.
888-727-BECK. More Pat and Stu for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program coming up.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
A good night's sleep is a must for any of us who have a crazy schedule. I toss and turn an awful lot. I have the right bed, but I thought I had the right pillow. Mike sent me a MyPillow, and it's an amazing thing. You gotta get the right MyPillow for you. Mike is now offering his lowest price ever offered on TV or radio. You can get a two-pack of MyPillow's premium pillows for just $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow. And this offer is available only at MyPillow.com or calling 800-966-3117. Use the promo code BECK. MyPillow, made in the USA. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Sleep like I did. 800-966-3117 and use the promo code BECK to get Mike's offer. You'll get a two-pack of premium pillows for $69.98. That's $34.99 per pillow. That's MyPillow.com. Remember, promo code BECK.
Pat and Stu for Glenn, 888-727-BECK. Netflix spending a fortune on original movies now because they have to.
Yeah.
As soon as all of these other streaming services kick into gear, Amazon's going to lose, 60-70% of their content. Once Disney takes everything off, Warner takes everything off for their own thing, NBC Universal takes all theirs off. Apple takes, I don't know that they have anything, but
CBS All Access.
CBS All Access. Another one. More.
There's plenty already of other networks that are trying.
Friends in the Office are going, and those are their two most popular TV shows.
So how long does it last, though? I mean, Amazon, Disney's probably the only one that can hold out, right, and survive within app fatigue world. The others, they're not going to be able to do it, right? Sooner or later, they're going to have to come back to either Amazon or Disney or Netflix.
It seems like there eventually will be a subscription. Like, you're paying $40 a month and you get access to all of them or something.
That's what needs to happen, yeah. Probably.
But that's just cable.
But then they're working together.
Right, we're just back to cable.
It's true.
It's the same thing.
It's true.
You know, it will be interesting. I think the Apple one is they're going to spend so much money. I mean, they're the biggest company in the world.
They have
world.
A lot of it
up and down on that. Yeah. So, I mean, they can spend a ton. You know, Netflix is interesting. At some point, they're going to take away so many of these shows. Can it support itself? I think the answer to that probably is yes, and they've built such a big backlog of original stuff.
Yeah.
But
and they have what? Worldwide, 150 million subscribers.
That's a good business.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're spending $520 million right now on three movies. So they're investing a lot. They've got a Dwayne Johnson action movie called Red Notice.
That's a pretty good draw.
Also stars Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot.
There's two other stars that are, you know, they're pretty good draws.
Yeah. That's a good cast.
I mean, if you're going to spend $500 million on three movies, you better have some stars in it.
No doubt about it, yeah.
They've also got a movie later this year that they'll release, Six Underground. It's Michael Bay directed. Those are always,
fun.
And then they're spending $150 million on a Martin Scorsese movie called The Irishman.
Wow.
Yeah, bringing in all the old the mobster guys, right, for the movie. That'd be fun to watch.
That'll be interesting. I mean, but like... The Disney one, for example, they are doing, which I think is a movie. I could be wrong. Could be a series. But they're doing a movie about like basically Boba Fett from Star Wars. Like a bounty hunter movie from Star Wars.
But it's not Boba Fett.
It's not
right?
Boba Fett. It's another bounty hunter. But like living the life of like what a bounty hunter would do. Like that is something like, as a Star Wars geek at some level, there's no question I'm subscribing to this service for that.
Absolutely.
100%.
You got to have the Disney one.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to wind up with you're going to wind up having so many freaking subscriptions. By the way, subscribe to the Blaze, blazetv.com. Use the code GLEN20.
$20 off still?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to watch the Elon Oman special, Amar special, you should do that. And never unsubscribe.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Warning.